You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Well, this morning we continue our series, Good Fruit, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm breaking the flow of the text today. Don't worry, I'm not changing scripture. But instead of preaching joy today, which is love, joy, peace, as part of the fruit, I'm going to be preaching on the fruit of peace. And the reason why, we've got Bob Lawson, who's preaching next week, and he requested that he preach on joy. And so being a senior statesman in the faith, I decided to keep the peace. You're welcome. My gift to you, Caelan, will be numerous dad jokes so that they will be glad to get rid of us. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. If you've got your Bible, please open up and we're going to read this together. Or you can follow on the screen behind. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces this fruit? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is the plumb line to which we would live our lives by. We thank you that we can trust your word. Your word is true. Your word is everlasting. And God, I pray for each one of us as we talk about the place or the position of peace in our lives, that we would experience that peace that is produced by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've found over the years the most authentic messages that I get to preach are the ones I have to walk through. You can imagine that over the last, for those of you who are aware, we're beginning a new journey as a family. In July, we'll be heading over to the UK to take on a role as an associate pastor in a church over there. And not what we expected to be happening this year. Not at all. And you can imagine that the peace that was probably there 6 months ago is not there as much on a frequent basis as we're trying to sell a house, get working visas, and basically sell everything up and move to the other side of the world. It's a challenge, but no less challenging than about 100 of you who have also done the same, and you are here now with us. And as Amy shared on Mother's Day, we are so encouraged by those who, for circumstances far more difficult than ours, had to leave their own country and experience the peace of God on the journey to be here and to be in the middle center of God's will. Many of you giving away careers and even having to start new careers. You were well established, but you had to step back and step into something new. And I pray that you would know the peace of God in that journey as you step into that new season. The challenge we face is when we lack peace is we try and produce it, don't we? We try and create it ourselves. We try and make it as a work of the flesh. We try and find peace in ourselves, but that doesn't go so well for us, does it? Because that peace that is produced by the Holy Spirit can only come from Him. As Caelan mentioned last week, the key to understand when we look at this book of Galatians is that at the core of the fruit of the Spirit is the work of love of the Father in our lives. It's an outworking, it's an outflow of the love that God has for us and that we can experience with Him that produces the rest of this fruit. And so the series is not about 10 ways or 12 ways that we can have more love and more joy and more peace, and here's how we can manufacture or create it, because it is only produced in and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so where there is a lack of any of that in my life, there's actually only one response: I got to surrender again. So God, I need to connect again to the vine, the source of that love or that joy or that peace. And so our goal in the series is to increase our awareness of the presence of God or the lack of, and that we would say, God, I'm lacking in love and joy and peace and patience. Come on, with my kids, patience. God, I want to connect to you in a deeper, more meaningful way so that your fruit would be outworked through your Spirit. As a follower of Jesus, for most of my life, I have seen, I've experienced the peace of God, but not every day, not all the time. In fact, I looked at some antonyms of peace or words that are different to peace or opposite to peace. See if you can familiarize yourself with any of these. Unrest, turmoil, commotion, bustle, tumult. I love that word. Pandemonium, hubbub, uproar, noise, unquietness. Have you experienced any of that in your life? This week. Gauging on the laughter, I'd say there's a few of us that have experienced a bit of that in our lives even this week. Biblical peace every day. Biblical peace is not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of difficulty. Jesus did not promise a Christian walk with no problems. And if you've subscribed to a gospel that promotes that, it's the wrong one. It's not even biblical. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Yes. No. But he says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. In other words, Mike, peace. I've got this. I've got this. You're okay. We're going to be okay because Jesus says, I've got this and I've got you. What Jesus did promise and gave us at Pentecost was his Holy Spirit. Our comforter, our helper, so that when we don't have that peace, his peace can reside within our hearts. Peace is a gift that was given to us. You know, when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he wrote it to a Greek audience. The original Greek word eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E, is translated peace, can also mean harmonious relations and freedom from disputes. So specifically here, peace is referring to a relationship with God, but also a relationship with others. And so this morning, I want to look at three aspects of peace that we can and should experience as Christians when we allow God to do the work in our lives, when we give Holy Spirit full access to all of our thoughts and all of our concerns and all of our anxiety. If we would give that to him, these are three things, three aspects of peace we can experience. Peace with God, peace within, peace with others. So we're going to look at these three today. Number one, peace with God. And this is the most important peace that we can experience. In Genesis 3, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we are born as humans into sin, unholy, unjust, wicked before God. Before we come to know Christ, we are actually enemies of God. This is what the Bible says, Romans 5:10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. All of us are guilty of sin. Let me just do a quick sin check in the house. Okay, can we do this? Has anyone ever stolen anything? Did anyone just lie? The reality is, you take a paperclip that's not yours, you take a pen and you go, I'm meaning to take it back. You've actually, we are all guilty of sin. And if we think we're not, then there's probably pride to deal with. So we are all guilty as charged. And the penalty, the wages of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. So we are at odds with God in our sin. That is the human state without God. We are enemies of God. And because of that, we are alienated from God because God is a holy God. He won't compromise on the fact that he is holy, which means that there needs to be a righteousness that's restored in our lives. And so we go about doing it in our own flesh. And this is what Paul was going at with the Galatians. You're trying to do this work to get right with God, but you can't add anything to salvation other than what Christ has already done. Friends, we can get peace with God, but it is through the work of Christ on the cross. Ephesians 6:15, Paul describes a spiritual armor. And he refers to the gospel as the shoes of the gospel of peace. Because it brings peace between God and man. When we put our faith in Christ, God declares us just. He assigns the righteousness of Christ to me, to you. God assigns it to us through faith and our belief and our trust in Jesus. He makes us righteous because of what Christ has done. We have a clean slate. There's a word that's used, justified. You could understand it as just as if I'd never sinned. because Christ paid the price for us, the work that he did on the cross. Now, imagine standing in front of a judge, guilty of a crime you know you committed, and you know you should be paying the price for it. The price you're supposed to pay is far more than you could ever in this lifetime and the next afford to pay. And then someone comes into the courtroom and says, this man needs to pay for, this man, this woman need to pay for their sin. However, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to take the penalty. I'm going to take it on myself. How would you feel? You would feel so relieved. How can I ever repay that gift of gratitude? By living a life that would honor that person. And that's what Jesus has done for us. I did not deserve the kindness and the goodness and the righteousness that he gave to me. And yet because he did, I choose to live for him. In the days where I'm not living for him, and I recognize that and the Spirit convicts me of sin in my life, I don't run from God. I bow before him and I humble myself and I surrender again and I ask God to forgive me and I walk in righteousness again. It's a righteousness that is continually outworked by us coming before God. It's not a matter of salvation when we sin. We're no longer saved. There's an outworking of our righteousness, his righteousness in us. Christ compelled him to pay the penalty on our behalf. I love what Colossians 1, Sarah read from Colossians earlier. Colossians 1, 19 to 22. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. That is my state, that is your state. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. What a promise there. As a result, he has brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I thought a couple more would get a little bit more excited about that. Come on, what has he done for us? Holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But in order for us to stand before God as clean, righteous, and justified, I must accept Christ. Only he could pay the price. Only he could make a way for us to be right with the Father. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Would you take one moment right now and thank God for what he did through Christ? Come on, just right now. God, thank you. Thank you for the peace that I have because of what Christ has done in my life. Thank you that I can have peace with you. Because of Christ and his death, the wall that is separated, Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. We are reconciled. We have peace with God. The second thing we have is we can have peace within. Can you imagine the disciples sitting, beginning their Passover meal? So they've been traveling with Jesus for a few years. Like, things are going great. And Jesus just shocks them completely. So he gets down and starts washing their feet. They're like, this is unusual. This isn't what he normally does. And then Jesus says, someone's about to betray me. And Judas leaves the building. And then Peter is told that he's going to deny Jesus. Like, this whole thing is unraveling. And the disciples are probably freaking out a little bit, especially when Jesus says, I'm going to go now to prepare a place for you. Like, it's as good as it gets right now. The disciples are seeing miracles like the world has never seen before. He is preaching to packed houses and hilltops, seeing the lame walk and the blind eyes open. And he says, I'm going to go. They're saying, hold on. This isn't the plan.
This isn't what we thought would happen. You ever had a moment like that in your life where everything's going well, going as you thought it would, and then all of a sudden God says there's a change of plan, but it's okay, we got this. I have. In the middle of the longest narrative that Jesus has with his disciples, John 13 through to chapter 17, he makes a statement that's encouraged me this week in the last few months, and I hope will encourage you too. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Friends, Jesus wants to give you peace through his Spirit. But like a gift, would you receive it? Or will you reject it? Peace is being offered to you today. Would you receive it? Come on, take a moment right now. Just receive that gift of peace within. Say, thank you, God, for your peace. I receive it. Receive it today. What sort of peace does the world offer? Peace of mind. I pay insurance so that if something breaks or fails, then I get my money back. I put security locks on my doors. I pay for an alarm so that maybe someone won't break into my house. Gives me peace of mind, right? Security. We have a job which pays for all of our bills, and it gives us a security, a peace of mind, right? Now, none of those things are wrong. But none of those things are a guarantee of peace. And that doesn't always work. It doesn't always work out as we hope and plan. The safeguards designed to give us a peace of mind. But Jesus said in the middle of this, verse 27, I do not give to you as the world gives. Which means his peace is not defined by good circumstances, good outcomes. It's despite of it we can have that peace. Has anyone got a testimony of an unbelievable peace of God in the middle of the most ferocious storm? Yeah. Many of us have experienced that. That in the middle of what is the hardest day of our lives, there is still a peace that passes all human understanding. And that is a peace that's produced not by my works, not by my good thinking, but by the Spirit of God working in me. That is the fruit of God's peace within. As the team come this morning, the final type of peace the Spirit produces in us is peace with others. First of all, peace with God. Our salvation, our security found in him, eternally in him. That peace within that while we're walking through the troubles and the trials and the challenges of life, we can have a peace within. But then God speaks of a peace with others. And there is an intentionality we read in the New Testament about God's desire for us to be at peace with others. We have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. That means we are called to reconcile and make peace with others. And right now, as I'm speaking about this, there's a very good chance that maybe some of you are thinking of someone who you are not at peace with. God's heart, God's desire is that there would be reconciliation. That God would reconcile with you, with that person. Listen to some of these verses. Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, but the peacemakers, those that would go and make peace. Romans 12:18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14:19, let us pursue what promotes peace. 1 Peter 3:10, the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him seek peace and pursue it. These verses, there is an intentionality about the longing or the going after peace. You know the word pursue is actually translated from the same word persecute. So the root word pursue and persecute, ever been singled out and persecuted? To be persecuted means to be plucked out, to be sought after, that someone would go after you to persecute you. In the same way, God's saying, I want you to go single out that person where things aren't right. Not with an intention of dismissing them or hurting them, but to humbly go before them and say, can we make things right? I'm going to let go of my offense. I'm going to extend forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. God's desire is that we would have peace with others. But again, this is not a peace that I can produce. I'm not good enough. One of the most difficult moments where I had to forgive someone, and I knew I had to, and he came to my door and he asked me to forgive him, and I closed the door in his face. I said, I can't. Not right now. It's me being real. It's me being honest. I couldn't manufacture forgiveness for him. We did. In fact, we caught up when we were in England. They went back to England. We caught up. It was amazing. Something that I wasn't sure whether we were still okay. We kind of connected and we'd had little connections, but we went back and that relationship was restored. It was reconciled. Praise God for that. Now, the reality is sometimes someone has done something, hurt us, abused us. To be in the same room with them is difficult and probably not even safe for you. This is where God's saying, in as much as you can, do so. That you would find and reconcile. And they may not come to the party and do the same, but we do what we can. And we forgive and we release and we find the peace of God. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. We might not have a criminal conviction in need of restoration. Maybe we do. But every one of us must bear the fruit of peace because we are called to share Christ, the Prince of Peace, to a lost and broken world. It should come to us as a relief that we can't produce that peace on our own. You want to strive, trying to get that peace, trying to get that love, trying to get that joy, trying to be more patient. It's like we just can't manufacture it within ourselves. This is a work of the Spirit, which means that it's a surrender to His Spirit. Someone asked me at the start of this year, you know, what's your theme for the year? You know, is it more in 24? Staying alive in 25? I'm like, nope, same theme as last year, surrender. Same as last year. I'm cool with the themes, that's fine. But you know what? I just want to be in a place of surrender because tomorrow I'm probably going to unravel again. I'm probably going to lose that peace that I've got today. And I'm going to need God again. And I'm going to need to come before Him and ask for His peace and then allow the work of God to flow out of my life and my heart. Anyone struggling with peace today? Peace with God. Peace within. Peace with others. As you came in, you would have received communion. And if you haven't and you would like to take communion, could you just raise your hand as I just bring this to a close and someone will come and bring some to you. Just keep it up and somebody will come. But if you'd like to prepare yourself, for those who have never taken communion before, you are welcome to join us. Let me explain it very quickly. Communion was the meal that was taken at Passover where Jesus took a loaf of bread and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He was saying, my body will be broken for the healing of your bodies. Then he took the cup and he drank from it and he said, take, this is my cup of my suffering that was poured out for you. His blood that was poured out so that our sins would be forgiven. When we take communion, it's remembering what Christ has done for us. What a beautiful and powerful expression of what God has done for us. And when you think of this topic of peace this morning, the peace of God, peace with God, peace within, peace with others, communion is such a beautiful way to restore, to find, to reconcile peace with God or peace with others. And so maybe in these three areas, in the area of peace with God, you have not yet given your life to Christ. I want to lead you in a prayer right now where you would say, I'm going to ask Christ to forgive me for the sins that I've committed. Because currently, right now, if you have not done that, you stand as an enemy of God. And we would not want you to walk out of these doors an enemy of God. But that your relationship with God would be restored and He would call you His son and His daughter. So if you have never given your life to Christ, if you need the forgiveness of a Savior who died on the cross on your behalf, on my behalf, would you pray a simple prayer with me? It's a simple prayer in the words, but the meaning is from our heart, and it's a decision of faith, trusting and believing that that's what Christ has done for us. Would you pray that prayer with me today? Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price that I could not afford to pay. Thank you that I have been justified and that I now have your righteousness. Thank you for making me clean. Thank you for accepting me, God, as your child. Thank you for the work of your Spirit in my life as I follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer this morning, for the first time, maybe you've recommitted your life to Him. At the close of the service, we would love to connect with you. In our Connect Lounge, maybe fill in a Connect card. We'd love to see you. Get a Bible in your hands. Help you take your next step. Maybe talk about being baptized. That next step for you, making that public declaration. But we're so proud of you for that decision that you have made. That's peace with God. Our goal is that we would all have peace with God. But what about that peace within? Maybe here today, you're struggling with that peace. Your mind is a battlefield right now of anxious thoughts and fear and difficulty. God is saying, I want to bring peace to your heart right now. He wants to do that for you. Would you receive that peace? And lastly, maybe you're out of relationship with somebody else. And God's saying, I want you to reconcile. There's a work of reconciliation I want you to do. And maybe it's in person with this person. Maybe you're not able to be in a room with them, and that's good and that's okay. But would your heart be settled before God that you have done whatever you could? And all that's possible, you've done all you can to be reconciled and make peace with them. My prayer is that you would have wisdom to know what to do. As the team play this morning, I want us to take a few moments and wait in quiet. Just where you are. If you want to share communion with someone, please feel free to do that. If you just want to do that with God, you can do that as well. Just take a few moments to wait, and to listen, and to do business with God. Let His peace, the work of His Spirit, stir within you. May His peace reside within your hearts and minds, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.